Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants, becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowd in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's readings, we have images of the growth that's supposed to happen, as well as the corruption and decline that does when we don't cooperate with the work that God wishes to accomplish. Let's begin with the growth. Jesus gives us his two famous parables among the 8 and the 13 chapters of St. Matthew's Gospel about the growth of his kingdom. First, it starts really small, like the tiniest of seeds, a mustard seed. And then it grows to become so large that it's able to encompass the globe. We see how this happened in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, when Jesus started as a one-cell embryo, and he became the Savior of the world. See how it happened on Pentecost, when out of that small band in the upper room, they were sent out to change the history of the world, going to all nations and bringing all nations into one. We see it in the life of so many religious orders founded by one person who had received a charism from the Lord, and then growing to be able to send religious all across the globe. We see it in the way parishes have begun, with one family that began to expand such that it would build and grow into something that would be able to nourish hundreds of thousands over the course of decades. This happens over and again. We should always recognize the power of the kingdom. All it takes is somebody receiving the gift of God with enough faith that it can grow. Jesus elsewhere in the gospel says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, when it is met with that mustard seed of the kingdom, that grace, it can become something truly world-encompassing. So our yes, as quiet as it is each day, can change the history of the world. That's the great news. Likewise with yeast, one little touch of leaven can lift up the whole dough. One sister in a convent can be a means of sanctification for all the others, lifting them all up. One sister in a neighborhood, one widow in a parish, can have that type of dramatic impact when we're cooperating with the Lord. So we should keep that in mind always, that what we're doing is not limited, but in a sense, unlimited, because the kingdom itself cannot be contained. But we see in the prophet Jeremiah, as well as the response to our psalm today, that that's not always what happens. Even though God's work has that type of explosive growth contained within it. As Jesus himself taught us in the parables last week that with which we began, sometimes even what we have will be taken away when we don't exercise those spiritual muscles of the theological virtues. And that's what God was showing through the prophet Jeremiah today in a very graphic prophetic oath. These oaths were the homilies God was preaching by actions. And there are more in Jeremiah and Ezekiel than in all the other prophets combined. But today he has Jeremiah take his special priestly underwear linen was special for priests and priestly things. And to symbolize the sacrality of the priest, God would often have the priest wear this linen underwear, and he did, and without laundering it, had him place it in the cleft of a wall close to where Jeremiah was. When he came back, it was all rotted. And what God was symbolizing, as he himself interprets later, is that Israel and Judah, the whole people of God, were so intimate. God had blessed them in so many ways. He had made himself vulnerable to them. And yet, rather than remaining faithful, they had begun to become corrupt, follow strange gods, serve and adore them. God had made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to him, to be his people, his renown, his praise, and his beauty. But instead, it was all wasted. It all became corrupt. And that similarly is a lesson that we have to hold in counterpoint. When we look at the situation today of the church, especially, for example, in the Northeast, we have to ask ourselves, where are we going? Are we an illustration of the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven? Or are we closer to this prophetic oath of the loincloth in Jeremiah? If we're honest, even though we see both at all times, at every institution in the church, it's the loincloth corroding that's triumphing at this present time. So many Catholics, the majority, don't come to Mass, don't practice any one of the Ten Commandments, don't practice the Beatitudes, don't practice the corporal spiritual works of mercy. We have so many Catholics, as we know, who lead the effort to destroy innocent life. They're the ones pushing for the destruction of marriage and redefinition of who it is to be a human being. We can't be falsely ironic and pretend that that isn't occurring. The church itself is shrinking. We're closing rather than building churches. We're closing 20 plus schools where the seeds of faith have been planted for generations. It is something to which God is not indifferent. But at the same time, even when this occurs, it's an opportunity for the parables that we've heard in the gospel to shine out all the more. One of the reasons why things can fall into corruption is because of the lukewarmness that sets in when an institution becomes fat, when the church itself has so many people that the vast majority can say, somebody else to pay the bills, somebody else to do the volunteer work, somebody else to respond to God's call, somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. When it shrinks, there's no longer really any place to hide if it's going to maintain and grow. People have to step forward. I remember once when I was a parochial vicar, first assignment, the pastor didn't often ask me for advice, but this one time he asked, and he said, what do we need to do to revitalize this parish? I said, in my opinion, the first thing we need to do is we need to renovate the church. He said, why do we need to renovate the church? He said, I'm not going to sort of ask you to flip altars around or everything else, but my sense of this parish, he had already been there for about 15 years. My sense of this parish is a lot of people are just coasting. They're not sacrificing. They're not being challenged toward those same type of virtues of people 100 years ago who built this parish. We need to have something for which they need to sacrifice so that they're able to see their own fingerprints, their own sweat, their own work, their own love in the parts of this building rather than just as an inheritance they've received to which they haven't contributed. He thought about it for a while and then he announced a building plan. And the parishioners, when challenged, stepped forward. And you could start to see that at the same time we were rebuilding aspects of the church, God was rebuilding them. The more that they were given, the more they were open to receive from God. So they started to come to many of the other programs that before they took for granted. At the same time that there was a physical reconstruction happening, God was doing something spiritual. So in this time in which we've got lots of loincloths corroding in walls all across the area, God continues to plant us. He's going to challenge us to live out our faith more and more like the missionaries who brought it to other places, like the first apostles who were sent out from the upper room, like Our Lady when nobody was able truly to understand her because nobody else could recognize just what God had been doing in her and through her. And that rebuilding of the kingdom begins each day at Mass. This is where Jesus implants himself as a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, so that he could bear fruit. This is where God hides himself in us in an image far more powerful than what Jeremiah himself experienced. So we prepare to receive this great gift. Let us ask the Lord, not just for the faith of a mustard seed, but for the faith of the grown tree.